This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
As we bring Liz Palmer into the conversation, she is a member of the Albemarle County Service Authority Board, has been a proponent of the existing 50-year water supply plan, and Liz, fair to say, not just a proponent, but one of the folks who helped put it together?
I wouldn't say help put it together. I have been working on the water supply plan for years as a citizen advocate with the League of Women Voters and commented on all the different issues many times and followed the process. And I think we were probably instrumental in getting a 2004 dredging study that had an increased scope over the 1999 dredging study. So, you know, with respect to being a citizen's advocate, yes. And then since I've been, but I'm not an engineer and I'm not a planner, but I have looked at this in great detail over 14 years now.
Yeah. And remain a committed advocate and proponent
Absolutely.
Of the existing 50-year supply.
I have not seen anything that the opponents have brought forth that is true that supports their plan and supports an idea that we would change from the one that we have adopted in 2006 and then readopted and reconfirmed our commitment to in 2008. And that, by reaffirming our commitment, I mean the Board of Supervisors and the City Council in 2008.
Yeah. Now, we're going to certainly hear this tonight, and we'll hear it from Dee Dee Smith when she comes in the next half hour, arguments against the existing plan. So, but before we do that, I want to give you an opportunity. What is it about the information you've seen over the years that keeps you committed to the existing plan, that you see, you know what, I still believe that this is the best course of action for this community?
Well, I got into this as from the environmental side of it, first of all. It does protect the downstream flows of the South Fork Rivanna River that goes into the Rivanna River, and it does relieve the Mormons River. So we are making sure that we have adequate stream flow. You have to remember that removing too much water is a form of water pollution. It does damage rivers. Right now, we are removing too much, too high of a percentage of our river flows in the summertime. And we're damaging the ecology of those rivers.
Yeah.
It is also by far been shown over and over and over again to be the most economical one. It's the only one that meets the estimated demand, and we've done three demand analyses now that have all supported the demand analysis that we came up originally with. We have, so it's the most environmentally sound. It's the only one that meets the stream flows that are required by the DEQ, and we're now operating under a different permit, which people have a tendency to forget, and we have a new Virginia Waters Protection Permit. And it's the most economical.
We're talking with Liz Palmer. She's a member of the Albemarle County Service Authority Board, and Zeke is on the program. Zeke, welcome to the program, buddy. You go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think that the savings and the importance of conservation has not been really made much of, and there are many progressive people do understand, but on the other hand, I mean, the water consumption is a lot like electric consumption. You bump into anybody on the street and you ask them how many kilowatts of electricity they burn per month or how many thousand cubic feet of water is listed on their bill, and honestly, most of them tell you they just don't have any idea. Now,
so I can't tell, Zeke, I can't tell if you support the plan or not. What?
No, I support the minimum plan. I think the dredging is the best way to go, but I want rate structures to be very, very reflective of conservation. In other words, I want to see, we live in the information age. By the census, we should know how many people live in each household. There should be a very favorable rate based on the number of occupants in a house, and then the rate can be upped considerably beyond minimal needs, and then that would pay for not necessarily expansion of the system, but for efforts to contribute to the better quality of the water.
Zeke, thank you. Thank you very much. And Liz, Zeke brings up Go ahead.
I would love to comment on this because I've been a big proponent of conservation for years. And through the League of Women Voters, we pressed for rate structures that supported conservation with the Albemarle County Service Authority for the county. The city did not adopt those tiered rate structures, and we have been working with those for quite some time now. One of the things that people really miss on this is that when we did a demand analysis, the DEQ has a reality check, and they tell us that we can, that we should make sure that our per capita numbers are somewhere between 85 to 200 gallons per person per day. And that's all your uses. That's your public use, your schools, your hospitals, your industry, your domestic, your leaks, that whole entire thing.
Yeah.
We're only at 93 in our plan. So you can see we're at the low end of the of the spectrum. What we did when we did the demand analysis was we did not have any industry in this area, in the urban area at the time, or it was dwindling quite a bit. And we based our water plan on historic use. So there is no placeholder for manufacturing. So if you end up having a brewery that wants to come to town, an apple processing plant, for instance, we have Apple White House apple sauce in Winchester that uses quite a bit of water, actually, and they're a new well-designed facility. They're not an old ConAgra-type thing. So we have no place setter there. We also have a very good reputation as far as our per capita use now. We've done actually a pretty good job when we look at it.
There is real conservation going on,
and you can see that we have dropped our consumption over the last few years because of that conservation.
So that's a point you would concede to the critics then, who insist, folks like Dee Dee Smith, and they say, the idea of conservation really isn't in the demand analysis. It doesn't take account of the fact that our demand is going down.
No, actually, I wouldn't. Let me change that just a little bit, the way I would like to have you see that. First of all, what Dee Dee Smith and them say is that the American Water Works Association says that if you take a house that has no water-saving fixtures and you replace them all with water-saving fixtures, you can expect to save 30 to 40% on that water, on water consumption in that house.
Which is not insignificant.
It is huge.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but when the American Water Works Association tells planners to plan for long term, they say do 4 to 8% for a 20 to 40 year period. And the reason is that low flow toilets have been in since 1992. Low flow showers have been around. I've had mine for years and years and years. And so we have already instituted a lot of these things, plus the fact that you're always going to have older buildings. You're always going to have landlords that, that don't check the plumbing and you have leaks and things like that. You're always going to have these things. So do you want to try to plan for the least amount of water that you can possibly get away with, or do you want to have a little bit extra?
We're talking with Liz Palmer, and Bill is waiting patiently on the line. Bill, thanks, buddy. Welcome to the program. Go right ahead.
Coy, hey, good to talk to you today, and Liz, good to talk with you, too.
Thank you.
I grew up down in Richmond, and when I was a child, the Richmond River, you couldn't swim in it. It was posted, danger, don't come in contact with the water. And then over the last 30 years, Richmond has developed this wonderful system of, river parks, and they're nationally recognized, clean up their water a lot. And, I've always thought that what a great thing would be. Mr. Jefferson loved the Rivanna River. What a great thing would be if Charlottesville could once again turn to the river and included it in the life of the city, people could recreate in. I mean, currently in Charlottesville, there's not a single access to the river, safe access.
But there are parks and there are trails.
But I mean, there was a lady, like Rivanna Park at the end of Chesapeake, a lady who broke both her legs going down the little pathway to the Rivanna there. So it's not real safe access.
So, Bill, do you support the existing plan?
My question is, I really haven't had a dog in this fight and participated back in the old days with the construction of the community plan, and was really thrilled when we went away from the Straw into the James and we're going to live within the resources of our watershed. The one thing I haven't been able to nail down is this releases into the Ravana. And, you know, I've talked to, you know, people who I think of as informed, and today I finally called one of the administrators at RWSA, who, in case I've, like, transposed his numbers or and dyslexic, I'm not going to quote his name, but essentially it sounds like currently the RWSA releases 8 million gallons per day.
Bill, we're running out of time,
okay,
so let me give Liz a chance
this.
To, yeah, real quick, go right ahead.
I would love to talk about this. First of all, I think that you should, what we're operating under is a new permit, and that we just got a couple of years ago. And it has stages, and the stages are associated with the infrastructure that we're going to put in. And what this plan does, which is so much better than what we've had before, and we have had no mandatory releases up until the time that we got this new water protections permit. But anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to, in high flow times, we're going to move the water from the South Fork Ravana Reservoir, which has a huge volume of water, and put it into the Ragged Mountain Reservoir. Now, so we'll have enough storage in the Ragged Mountain Reservoir to allow the river to just run free during very dry times. So, and, you know, almost every summer we have a very dry time. The Nature Conservancy and a lot of other researchers have said that you really have to look at the percentage of water that you're taking out of a river. The science is coming down at somewhere around 20% for a Piedmont River. After you get over that, you start to damage the river. And you can imagine that our demand is pretty constant all year long. And then it gets higher in the summer because people want to grow vegetables and they want to keep their plants alive and they want to go swimming and all those kinds of things. And people take more showers in the summertime. So the quantity of water we need goes up at just the time that the river has the hardest time. So with respect to the Mormons, there's times when we're taking out 80% of the flow out of that river.
And killing the river is the argument.
Killing the river.
Yeah. Liz
and
Palmer.
Will,
yeah.
I just want one more thing,
sure,
really
sure.
quick. We will be doing that. We do that sometimes with the South Fork under very dry conditions. But as the population gets higher, there's just going to be more pressure. And what a lot of people forget is we also have a water treatment plant with no in-stream requirements on the North Fork. And those are the two rivers that are coming into the Ravana. If somebody cares about the Ravana and you care about stream flows, you want more storage, not less.
Liz Palmer is a member of the Albemarle County Service Authority Board. Liz, thank you very much. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.